From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and soundbites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Washington Watch. So glad to have you on board. I'm Jody Heiss, sitting in today for Tony and coming to you live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the RNC Platform Committee met yesterday and where the Republican National Convention will be getting kicked off next week. Again, glad to have you here. Let me share with you some of the highlights that we'll be discussing today. You know, while the headlines all over are focused on the Democrats' intra-party backstabbing over President Biden as their party's nominee, we have the Trump administration debating about and wondering about the veep stakes. And of course, the House of Representatives is back. They're working this week in Washington, D.C. And among the big pieces of legislation they're dealing with includes an election integrity measure that Democrats have already gone to great lengths to block.
Republicans are united. We are united behind a simple notion that I think at least 81% of Americans, maybe as high as 87%, depending on which poll you look at, believe in a simple concept that only American citizens should vote in American elections. Not surprisingly, our Democrat colleagues, in particular, the president yesterday in his statement of administration policy, take a different view. They don't believe that we should require only citizens vote.
Well, that was Congressman Chip Roy from Texas earlier today talking about the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, also known as the SAVE Act. I'll be talking with Mississippi Congressman Mike Ezell, who is going to be joining us by phone because votes are taking place as we speak on the House floor, but he'll be joining me to discuss that in just a few moments. And we'll be continuing our discussion on the GOP's 2024 party platform, which was adopted yesterday.
This platform is the will of the people. In our party, we believe in healthy debate. We believe in listening to all voices. We are a diverse political coalition. President Trump has built the most diverse political movement in history, and our platform represents debate amongst the people and the will of the people. I would say that we are really proud of our platform. We believe it is a pro-life platform.
That was Carolyn Sunshine. She's the Deputy Director of Communications for the Trump campaign. That was during an interview with News Nation earlier today. But as we highlighted yesterday, there's been a great deal of disappointment over the platform among many pro-life conservatives. Especially discouraging is how the watered-down result was baked into a process that was both secretive and dictated, literally from the top down. Tamara Scott, a member of the RNC Platform Committee from Iowa, will be joining me a little bit later in the program to discuss her experiences in the Platform Committee yesterday. And Family Research Council President and your usual host here on Washington Watch, Tony Perkins, will be stopping by to continue the discussion on the party platform that we were having yesterday. But we wanted to go further into it and discuss where do we go from here. And at the same time, Tony has introduced a new initiative that I'm really proud to be able to have him share with you about. It's a new initiative to protect the unborn, and we're excited to hear from him, and he'll be joining us a little bit later on. So we've got a lot coming your way today. Again, let me, as always, remind you of our website, tonyperkins.com. There's absolutely tons of resources there for you. And, of course, if you miss this or any other program, you'd like to go back to it, you can always find it there at tonyperkins.com. All right, let's jump into the program for today. Among the measures that the House of Representatives is dealing with this week is H.R. 821. It's the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, also known as the SAVE Act. Now, this legislation is, in every way, nothing but common sense. It amends the National Voter Registration Act and would require states to do two things. Number one, to prove citizenship from voters for federal elections. Secondly, it would require states to purge non-citizens from the voter rolls. You can't get much more common sense than this, particularly when we understand that secure elections are a key cornerstone of our entire governmental process. So the question is, why in the world are the Democrats and the Democratic leadership whipping so hard against this legislation? And furthermore, why has the White House, why have they announced that President Biden would veto this bill should it pass both chambers of Congress? Well, joining me now from the House floor by phone is Congressman Mike Ezell. He serves on the Homeland Security Committee and as well as the Transportation Committee. Before going to Washington, he was a career law enforcement officer for more than 40 years and also served as sheriff of Jackson County. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Mississippi. Congressman Ezell, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on this afternoon. It's just such an honor. I still find it an honor to be here serving in the Congress as I did a law enforcement officer. And thank you so much for having me on this afternoon.
Well, it is our privilege and honor in every way. And listen, I know you've got votes going on, so even more so, thank you for your time. All right, give me your perspective on the SAVE Act. Why is this so important?
Well, my goodness, I mean, you know, that's basic, like you were just saying just a minute ago. You know, this country is based on laws. And, you know, we, as a law enforcement officer, I abide by the laws that are passed by the legislature. And, you know, election integrity is a cornerstone to this country. And make no mistake about it, the reason why they got that wide open border so they can get as many illegals in here and get them allowed to vote so they can dominate the American vote. And we know that. You know, you got to have election integrity. You got to be able to have what's the problem? You have to show an ID to go just about anywhere, to get on an airplane or anything like that. So, you know, this is all one big scheme, if you ask me, by the Democrats and by this administration to so they can dominate the country with their election, the way they do things. And so, you know, I'm proud to be a supporter of this.
Well, we're proud you're supporting it as well. I guess a question that I have, and I've had conversations with people throughout the day, and I just from my simple conversations, people have been asking and wondering and actually stating this is just common sense in every way that you look at it. Why, Congressman, are the Democrats so opposed to this? Why have they just absolutely gone nuclear against this thing?
Because they cannot continue to go on with their shenanigans if they don't get what they want. And that's all this is. It's just some sort of a fraud. You know, it's so plain and simple. But, you know, common sense there's not a lot of common sense up here in D.C., I have found out in my very short time of being here. But they want to dominate the House, the Senate, and the White House. They want to get elected by any means necessary. And going against the rules and basic common sense is what they're all about. And we've got to fight this every day, and I'm going to continue to do that as long as I'm here.
Well said. I know during my time in Congress on the Oversight Committee, whenever we dealt with this type of issue, and it came up multiple times during my time there, and the Democrats inevitably would say something like, "You Republicans are just making a big deal over nothing. There are already laws making it illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. They already can't do this, and you're just kind of smearing it in their nose by pushing more legislation stating that it's illegal to do so." But you referenced a moment ago the illegals, more than 10 million migrants that have flooded into the country, and you believe that that, in fact, has something to do with why the Democrats are opposing this. Is that right?
100%. 100%. I'll tell you this. You know, they want to stack the deck. They want to do anything they can to get the election to go their way. They want to make these people legal. They want to make them to get in here and you know, vote Democrat. They don't want the these folks to come in here and do like normal people do, to register to vote, to be a good citizen, to be an American. They want to do things under the table. It's the same thing they did when they hid Joe Biden in the basement 3 years ago when he was running for president. They want to do things under the table, and that's obvious to the American people, and we saw it on the stage just last week during the debate.
If I can real quickly switch topics, and again, thank you for joining us there on the floor. I know votes are taking place, so I know you've got to run here in just a few moments. But if I can switch topics real quickly, this week the House is going to consider a Congressional Review Act resolution to nullify the Biden administration's Title IX rule. What do you anticipate there? Why is this one so important?
Well, it's going to be the same thing that we're going through with this this other thing, the SAVE Act. You know, and it just it makes no sense whatsoever to have a man competing in a woman's sport, and that's what they want. It's just the craziest thing. Who would have ever thought we'd have even had to even bring this up in the United States Congress to have to fight something like this? This is just crazy. And I tell you, I'm going to fight them every step of the way, just like I've done my entire life as a law enforcement officer, and I'll do the same thing here in the Congress.
Well, this is taking place, and I'm really one of the things that's encouraging to me with this whole battle over the Title IX is it's a national battle. I mean, what is literally taking place right now is red states primarily, attorney generals have filed lawsuits against the Biden administration. And I think it's fantastic that states are, in many regard, taking the lead on this. But now it is also important for Congress to have a voice, for Congress to make a statement as well in all of this. Do you think kind of the combination between the federal and the state involvement against Title IX is going to move the needle?
Absolutely. I tell you that the American people have seen the veil has been pulled back. They see these various crazy things that the Democrats have come up with. Why, I don't know. But I'm telling you what, I'm very encouraged about what our states are doing. I'm very encouraged about what the Congress is doing and Chip Roy stepping up and getting these things done and some of the other stuff that's going on here with the SAVE Act and with this Title IX deal. We're going to continue to stand for the American people and do what's right in the eyes of God. That's my stand, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, I don't know if you were able to hear. We actually did play a clip of Congressman Chip Roy a little while ago talking about the SAVE Act, and you're right. I mean, this kind of stuff, it not only is critical to the well-being and the future of our country, but I tell you, this is important for the American citizens as well to see the Republicans in Congress taking a stand for not only just common sense things, but to take a stand on that which is just simply right. It is, as you referred to, as you referenced, this is about doing what God is calling all of us to stand for. And we're deeply grateful for your role in this. Do you believe these things are going to pass real quickly?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I just believe, again, that the American people have had their eyes open. You know, they've been sitting on the sidelines. They see what happened. What's going on in the country right now. And they love America just like I do, but there's a small group, which seems to be in this house up here, that just want to or bent on destroying this country. And, you know, as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to stand for what's right, moral, and right in the eyes of God, and support my people back home.
Well, we hope you keep breathing and fighting for a long time. Congressman Mike Ezell of Mississippi, thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch. Thank you for taking time there on the House floor to step away from votes to speak with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, we've got much more coming your way on Washington Watch, coming to you live from Milwaukee, and we'll be back after the break to discuss an experience of one member of the platform committee and what it was like yesterday for her. You don't want to miss any of it. Tamara Scott from Iowa will be joining us right after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. It's an honor to have you on board with us. I'm Jody Heiss, your host, coming to you live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the site of this week's RNC committee, platform committee. Get my tongue tangled up here. We're in the midst of an incredible thing that's taking place here between the platform committee and the national committee taking place next week. And we've been discussing quite a bit yesterday and today. We'll be going into it further here in just a little while. But many members of the RNC platform committee found themselves disappointed, greatly disappointed, not only by the end result of the GOP platform, but perhaps even more so by the process that enabled party officials to literally steamroll their own agenda. The procedure was secretive. It allowed no room for back and forth or even good faith discussions. And in the end, which is most concerning to so many, protections for the unborn that the party has championed for more than 40 years, those things were abandoned. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Tamara Scott, who is a member of the Republican Platform Committee. She's from the great state of Iowa. Thank you so much, Tamara, for joining us. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Congressman. Let me, if I may, just a little bit of a, not a pushback, but folks, I often hear this critical or accusatory tone towards the RNC. And to be fair, the convention, the committee, the platform committee is not the RNC. It is the RNC convention, but those who are there as delegates are elected volunteers in their states, or they are selected by their governor, however that may be. But it's also then run, as you know, by a congressman, a senator, and usually a gubernatorial individual. In this time, I think it was Ed Martin as a deputy director, and Randy Evans was the director, if you will, and I think Russ Voigt was in there. So it wasn't, those are not RNC members. So I want to clarify, because the RNC members that I work, so many of the campaign or the 168 folks that I work with, we are pro-life. We are, not everyone, but we are pro-life. And they're spending our own resources, our time, our money, time away from our family to protect. As I tell people, my role is to uphold or to preserve our Judeo-Christian foundations as a nation, to protect our constitutional liberties and freedoms and protections as a people, and to protect our principles as a platform. And so it was heartbreaking. You're right, it was heartbreaking. I will say the document, though it could be stronger, could be better, is not terrible. As Penny Nance said today with Concerned Women for America, it could be weaker, it could be stronger. It still is pro-life. We as a party are still pro-life. It's just not the great language, the distinctive, definitive language that had clarity that we have enjoyed and stood with for 40 years. That, I think, is the heartbreaking issue, and that it was taken off, but not by a majority of the delegates. It was taken off, as you know, without the ability to really even have a vote or have input as to whether or not it was removed. We were just presented with a brand new document.
Yeah, I think that is the big issue here. And thank you for that clarification, the distinction between the RNC and the platform committee and so forth. But what you just brought up, that is the big issue here. Obviously, there's some disappointment on the end result. It weakened, it watered down a very clear position that the Republican Party has had for over 40 years on the issue of life. But it was the process, the steamrolling, the lack of ability to have debates. It's not what many on the platform committee were expecting. It's not what they, how really that the committee has operated for decades. And their experience yesterday really revealed that things were not as they expected. Is that a fair statement?
It was unfortunate. Listen, the folks who serve are elected or selected in their states. Some run for election, some are appointed by governors. But these are folks who have to make the decision how they're going to spend their vacation time. Are they going to spend it with family, or are they going to sacrifice family time to go and use vacation days on this committee? The air flights were very expensive. It wasn't cheap to get to Milwaukee. The hotel rooms were, I think, at least $300 a night, the hotel I was in. So this is not a small venture. People who do this are committed and they want to have input. Beyond that, they're taking the views of their state. For me, I'm representing my state, and I don't take that lightly. And to not even be given a chance to have discussion, to present an argument. If you lose, that's one thing. But to not even have an opportunity to get out of the gate and present your argument, it was demoralizing. It felt disrespectful for these folks to spend this kind of money and be treated with such, they were dismissed. It was disheartening. We were talking about on the way home all these words that you could put with this. These folks deserved better. And we heard from folks on the platform, on the stage, that they had talked to members, people across the nation for the platform. That's great. You can go to any campus, American Legion Hall, bar, church, wherever you want to go and talk to anybody and get an opinion. But the folks who deserved to be there to be heard were silenced.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And I know you had that experience yourself. That you went through. You know, when I read through the platform, Tamara, to me it reads like a campaign proposal more than a party platform. It just seems like it is a departure from that which would grab the heart of voters. It just comes across more as intended for campaign purposes.
Right. So when I speak out, let me be clear to everyone. I supported Trump in 2016. I support Trump for president this year. He's earned a great record in what he did in his first 4 years in office. So there's goodwill. To quote Penny Nance again, she said, there's goodwill he's earned, right? But only President Trump has earned this. Not everybody else working on the campaign has that goodwill. We're going to trust him at his word, what he did with the judges, Jerusalem, the embassy, life, all these very, very great issues. But I have said for months, I've heard this rhetoric from people associated with the campaign, that it needed to reflect his messaging or his marketing. No, the party is separate. Now, where we work together, we work in tandem, and it's great when that happens. But a campaign document is from a candidate. It is top down. And in the issue of presidency, a presidential candidate is for a 4-year term. They're giving you goals that they hope to make for 4 years. A party platform is the grassroots ground up, and it is for the next 40 years. It is our timeless principles, our core values, and those aspirations of which we hope to achieve. We may not get them in 4 years, but it's something that's important enough, like life, that we will continue working towards it.
Tamara Scott, thank you so much for taking time to join us today on Washington Watch and sharing greater depths as to what happened yesterday. And coming up next, friends, where do we go from here? The voters who care about pro-life and pro-family values, where do we go? Well, FRC's President Tony Perkins will be joining me about those thoughts on the, and more discussion on the platform as a whole. So,
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. Glad to have you joining us today. We're coming to you live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the site of the RNC Platform Committee and also the site of next week's Republican National Convention. As we've been talking about for decades, the Republican Party has championed the unborn. And while the 2024 GOP platform is discouraging, it does not end, even as we just were talking about with our previous guest, it does not end the effort that we all must continue as it relates to standing for a culture of life. Advancing, on the other hand, a temporary political objective, that cannot be a license to compromise biblical truth. And no one has been more clear in that statement, in that proclamation, then our next guest, which, of course, is the president of Family Research Council, Tony Perkins. Tony, thanks so much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
All right, Jody, good to see you. Thanks for filling in for me again today.
Well, you've had a few things on your plate. I know that. So, all right, listen, we've had the platform now has it's been voted on. It is what it is. People are beginning to read it, Right. Seeing what's in it. What kind of reaction are you seeing from people now?
Well, I think as more people read it, they see it for what it is. It's not a bad document. It's kind of cotton candy. It's not rat poison, but it's cotton candy. You know, it's not the substance that we're accustomed to that lays out these enduring principles that movements are built upon. It does lack, as we talked about yesterday, clarity on the issue of life. It is a step back, and I don't like spin. Okay, I just don't like spin. It is a step backwards. It doesn't move us closer to recognizing that all human life, which is created in the image of God, is to be welcomed into our world and protected under our laws. It falls short of that, and it moves it further away. That said, Jody, no victory this side of heaven is permanent, nor is any defeat permanent. And so we keep going. You know, this is what brought me into the political movement. I was a police officer. That's what I would have stated at. But the life issue made me have to make a choice. And I've realized that we're not minutemen like the Minutemen from the Revolution. this might be a history lesson here, you know, that they would respond, they would drop their pitchforks and they would grab their rifles and they would run to the battle and then they would go back home and they would pick up their pitchforks. You know, I always thought, well, we just kind of respond and we take a pro-life stand and then it's over and we go back to our life as it was before. This is our life. This is what Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the battle that we're in and that we have to continue to stand. So the battle is never done this side of heaven. We have to continue to perpetually stand for the truth, knowing that there's going to be good days and there's going to be some days like yesterday, right, bad days. But you know what? God sits on his throne and he laughs at the nations who rage against him and say that they can do it their way. God's truth is enduring. That's where we should stand, and that's where we should move our communities, our country, and if we're engaged in a political party, toward that truth.
Well, I think that's extremely well said, and it hits it right on the head. And we have to give hope that the battle continues, but we also need to provide direction,
yeah,
that we keep on doing what's right. This is not a battle against any candidate or any party per se. This is a stand for truth, for biblical truth, something that we have done for decades and something that now we must continue.
Yeah. You know, when I've had five kids and I was a kid, believe it or not, one time. And, you know, when you're in the kitchen, you touch the hot stove or you touch something that's hot. And you know what? You realize, I don't want to do that again. Well, I think this has to be one of those hot moments for the RNC where they realize, and I know Tamara was just talking to, Tamara's a great lady and enjoyed working with her. This is not the 168. It's kind of confusing when you throw all these things around, Republican convention, RNC, GOP, you know, all this stuff. Well, here's there's the chairman of the RNC, Michael Whatley, selected by the campaign to basically be the leader of the party for now. So he's kind of the one figurehead that you can identify, and he's taking his marching orders basically from the campaign. I think they need to know that this is not acceptable, because if not, we'll see this repeated in 4 years, and we can't have that.
And it's always hard to get the genie back in the bottle when it's
right.
out. And
right.
when you take away so many of these life protections 4 years from now, when we
that's the problem.
Candidate,
it's it took us 45 years to get to where we were.
Yeah.
And so to see a retreat in one day and not even have debate on it was insulting. It was wrong, and it cannot be tolerated. So we're encouraging people to basically sign on to, technically sign on to, or not technically, but just kind of support the minority report that was submitted by 21 of us to the RNC. You can actually sign it as a kind of a petition to the RNC chairman. You can just text the word report, 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 to 67742, 67742, report. You'll get a link, sign that. And we want to inundate Chairman Whatley with this support of this minority report, saying we will not tolerate the party moving away from the issue of life.
Do you know, and we've got less than a minute, but if you can, let's stick around. I want to continue this conversation.
Yeah, I paid for this microphone. I'm going to stay.
Okay. It's all your, listen, it's all, both of them are your microphones for that matter. But, Have we heard it all from the campaign?
I've had some surrogates, if you will, reach out and have conversations. You know, I've been on the phone nonstop talking about it. And I do want to talk about when we come back from the break. Where do we go from here?
I
think we have to go with eyes wide open. We still have a clear contrast between the two parties, but it doesn't mean we have to be silent. Okay, we can continue to do our work, pray, vote, and stand. Part of that standing is speaking.
And we will continue this discussion right after the break with Tony Perkins. Stay tuned.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation.
bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
All right, welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your guest host, Jody Heiss, coming to you live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the site of the RNC Platform Committee this week. And, of course, the Republican National Convention will be taking place here next week. Honored to be joined right now by Tony Perkins, president of Family Research Council, who has been so involved in this whole process. Tony, thanks again for sticking over with us. All right, you were saying before we went out, and give one more time where people can go.
Yeah, so what we want to communicate very clearly, and this is where you can help, and I know literally thousands weighed in before the platform committee trying to help build that momentum, completely steamrolled the way the process worked. And okay, it is what it is.
Right.
So what do we do from now? What do we do from here? So we have a minority report that 21 of us submitted to the convention, despite the fact that they would not answer my parliamentary inquiry as to how to do it. So we submitted it anyway. It's been submitted to the chairman of the RNC. And so what we're encouraging people to do, Jody, is go to or just simply text the word report to 67742. That's report to 67742, and you'll get a link, and you can sign your signature onto that report, calling upon the chairman to lead the party into embracing life, which is what the minority report focuses primarily on. There were other issues, but that was, you know, to use the old adage, the straw that broke the camel's back, because that was 40 plus years in the making, and to walk away from that in one platform is unacceptable.
Absolutely. All right, so you can text the word report to 67742. You can also find a link at the website, tonyperkins.com. So either of those places, we encourage you to go sign up for this. Our voices need to be heard right now. This is a major issue that's taking place within the GOP. And
yeah, I would literally ask you to do that, because
absolutely.
You know, it was it's a difficult process. We went through it, not for ourselves, not even for FRC, not for even my constituents in Louisiana that elected me, but for the movement, for life, for the unborn. And so weigh in. and help us send that message that this is unacceptable.
Thank you for your lead on this.
Well, let's talk now about what do we do next? Okay, yeah. So we communicate this that it's not acceptable. We don't like it, but we're still going to register people to vote. We're still going to vote because there's a clear contrast between the parties. Now, that said, Jody, I want to be clear, and Tamara made this reference. She said that this, and you talked about this with Tamara, about this being more of a campaign platform, right. Which it's not a bad campaign platform. It's just not the enduring principles that a party is guided by.
Which doesn't attract voters.
No, I mean, well, it doesn't, there's no aspirational goals in here. There's
right.
nothing
just,
where you're going to go and what
lame.
You're about. Mm-hmm. So if this is the approach that the RNC is taking, then quite frankly, I don't think we should be supporting the RNC with our finances. Now, let me be very, very clear here. We need to be voting, and we need to vote for candidates who most clearly align with biblical truth. There's very few opportunities we get that those are perfectly aligned, although there's more and more getting into the process. But you have to use discernment. We have voter guides. We'll be putting voter guides out on all of the elections this fall. And so we need to vote in alignment as nearly as possible with those biblical truths. But the next step is, where do we give our time and money? I believe we should give our time and money to those candidates and those entities that are clearly supporting biblical truth and willing to fight for that biblical truth. And so I've done this in the past, and they did a course correction, and so I removed my objections. But I would say you should not give any money to the RNC. You should direct your money to either directly to the candidates that you know, or to entities like, you know, you're the president of FRC
right.
Action now. And we've got the Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund.
Right. That's right.
And we clearly vet these candidates to make sure they're in alignment with biblical truth and support these positions of life, marriage, family, religious freedom. And so I would encourage you folks to direct your money to the Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund or directly to candidates.
Listen, I couldn't agree with you more.
And how can I get to the...
You can go to frcaction.org, or you can go to faithfamilyfreedomfund.org. And by the way, that is a super PAC, able to receive unlimited contributions from both individuals and corporations. And listen, this does, Tony, as you said, it allows us to directly engage in the political process without going through all these big, massive organizations that
and supporting things that
and supporting
don't
things
with.
That we don't support,
right.
And that's kind of what we're facing right now
but
in so many
let
ways.
Me again be very, very clear, folks, we have to vote, and we have to have discernment, and we have to understand we're not going to have perfect alignment. And so yes, we're disappointed in this temporary setback. We're not going to say that it's permanent, because we're going to continue to push, and you're going to help us do that. But we're going to vote, and we're going to have a clear contrast this fall.
And the contrast is already clear.
Yeah,
we have a bump in the road right now within our own party. Okay, we'll deal with those kinds of things. We have an alternative where people can support and give to be more aligned with their biblical principles and so forth. But as you've said 1,000 times, it's pray, vote, stand.
Right.
And
staying home, folks, is not an option.
It's not an option.
I mean, there is not voting is a vote for the worst possible outcome.
Yeah.
And so we have to be informed and engaged, even when we're not completely happy with what we're dealing with.
But let me kind of circle back with this. I mean, we have talked about this whole platform issue from the perspective of the policy. This is a policy standpoint that
right.
is weak at best. But beyond that, I mean, this has a watered down platform such as this has political ramifications too. While we're talking about praying and voting and standing, there are political consequences. I mean, this kind of makes people scratch their head and wonder, what's happening to my party?
No question about it. And this is why for weeks I had conversations and meetings warning that this would have that effect. And I mean, there's no denying that it will have some effect, even though we're going to encourage people to continue to be engaged. But, you know, when you have a party that backs away from what brought you into the Republican Party, I mean, I'm an example of this, Joe.
Right.
As I mentioned earlier, I was a police officer, and my police career ended because I took a stand over Operation Rescue coming to town and the excessive use of force by the department I was with. I spoke out publicly, and it ended me leaving the department involuntarily. And so that's what launched me into the political arena as standing for the unborn. So, I mean, this is not something new to me. This is something that a lot of people, in fact, a lot of people at FRC, they came to Washington. They came to this entity over the sanctity of human life, because we understand it's not just a political policy issue. It's a spiritual issue. That's what I recall in the summer of 1992, the evidence, the manifestation of this spiritual battle that this issue was about. I just thought it was just, you know, just an issue, and it's I'm a Christian, so I'm pro-life. It wasn't until that summer that I realized that this is the central issue over the battle for truth and for life and for the understanding that God is the creator of life. And when we deny that, and when you look back in the Old Testament, you see the judgment that came upon the nation of Israel when they shed innocent blood. And that was the shedding of the blood of children. And America cannot be blessed if we continue. Tolerate or embrace this. And so is it still continuing? Yes, it's continuing. But as long as we're fighting it, I believe God's mercy remains, because we're not content with it. We're not satisfied in saying, you know what, it's not my problem. We're making it our problem because it's God's problem. What offends God should offend us, and the killing of unborn children offends God. His word makes that very clear. And those things should bother us, and to the point that it causes us to make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, if I can, Tony, I'd like to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit for our viewers and our listeners right now, and give a little bit of, if I can say, behind the scenes look at FRC. Yesterday was a long, long day. It was a disappointing day. After months of preparation and battle, it all went down as we have been discussing. Last night, we gathered as a group, FRC, FRC Action, and the media team, those of us here in Milwaukee, and we had a powwow. And in that powwow, which you led, you said two things that really stuck out to me, and I think our viewers and listeners need to hear. First, you said something to the effect that we will never sacrifice biblical principles for the sake of political advancement. Biblical principles we will stand for, period. And if our party goes away from that, then we are going to stand on the scripture. We're not following the party. Second thing on that issue, the second thing you said is this is a time where people need hope and they need direction. And in essence, you said we are going to stand in the gap in that regard as well. If you could expound a little bit more, perhaps in going further than what I've just said with that, I think this gives a heart of FRC, gives a heart of you and the leadership that you provide us, but it also gives our audience right now something to hang on to as well as they're wrestling through all of this. If you would take those two thoughts a little further.
Sure, Jody, but I would also add that we spent time in prayer.
Yes, that's how we ended.
That's how we
did so many of our meetings.
So we ended our night in prayer. So when we talk about pray, vote, stand, that's not...
We do it.
Yeah, we do it. We model that. When we talk about the Word, we're in the Word. It's our source of strength as an organization, as individuals. So what we say, we model what we do. And so I think that's the key to integrity as an organization, and in the leadership of the organization. It's what we do, because
that's right.
If we can't expect the organization to do something we're not doing. But we have to make a decision as to whether or not we're going to walk in God's way according to His word. regardless of where the culture may be, the times in which we're living. You know, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And that's the cost of discipleship, is to basically you die. You just die to self.
Right.
So, you know, you can't kill a dead man. You know, you can't mock, you can't cancel a dead man. And so we just have to die to self and follow Christ. And, you know, I have found in the 35 years I've been down this path that the Christian life is the most exciting life to live, because it really is an adventure. And we get to see God work in so many miraculous ways. And four of the guiding values here at the Family Research Council for us is truth. We're going to speak the truth. We're going to proclaim the truth. We're going to hold ourselves accountable to the truth. But secondly is hope. And because Peter wrote that, you know, be prepared to speak of the hope that's within you. We have a hope that transcends the current difficulty and challenges. It's our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we enter into a relationship with Christ, accepting him as our Savior and Lord, confessing him as our Savior and Lord, our security is set for eternity. That gives us a purpose. We now live for something bigger than ourselves. And so from that, we gain hope, even in the midst of difficulties. And then we want to have courage. That's our third guiding trait, is it takes courage. I saw that yesterday. There were so many who were afraid to speak. Mm-hmm. They were taking pictures of people who voted against the RNC of the campaign position to intimidate them, and many were intimidated. We would have probably had 50 people sign the minority report, but they were afraid. And I talked to them. They said, I just can't, you know, they might come after me. They might come after you. You live in America. You're an adult. You know, I have one pet peeve. I cannot stand cowardice. Mm-hmm. I just cannot stand that. I mean, if we fear God, we have no reason to fear anything else.
That's right.
Because he will provide, and he has, and he will. Doesn't mean we won't have difficulties, but it means that he will see us.
And to fear God eliminates fear of man.
That's right. You don't have to. If you're, that's why COVID was so revealing. You know, when people were fearful of the virus, fearful of government, fearful of this, it tells me they weren't fearful of God.
Right.
Didn't have that reverence for God. Doesn't mean you're careless. Doesn't mean you're reckless. But look, we do not need to fear when we're walking in obedience and in fellowship to God. So there is a hope. There's always a hope, as long as the sun is rising. But God has entrusted us with this moment. And I think he's entrusted us with this moment to be faithful to the truth, to proclaim that truth, even when it is politically inexpedient. When it doesn't, it's rarely do they roll out a red carpet for the truth. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to speak it. We're to continue to speak that truth. And we will at the Family Research Council, knowing that God will be honored. And when he is honored, his blessings come with it. Will we turn this country around? I certainly hope so. That's what we're working to do. But if we don't, well, that's upon God. The results belong to him. The duty to obey is ours.
And I think that's a great message to leave today, that we have the understanding that it is our role to stand for truth and to do so lovingly, but to stand with pure hands, clean hands and pure heart to stand, leave the results to God.
Right.
He's going to have the final word in all of this. Tony, I can't thank you enough. I know you've got so many plates spinning in your world, and even here in Milwaukee, so much going on. And it means a great deal that you take time to drop by.
Well, thank you for filling in. Folks, text report to 67742 and join us in Speaking Out for Life.
And check out faithfamilyfreedom.org as well. All right, that wraps up this edition of Washington Watch. As always, thank you so much for entrusting this hour of your time to us as we bring you the news all from a biblical perspective. Hope you have a fantastic remainder of your day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.